From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, a top-secret organization formed in 1939 to try to topple Hitler. It's an amazing story. We'll get into that. Here's what's happening. Up to 200 sets of remains belonging to American servicemen are expected to be transferred from North Korea to the UN command in South Korea in the next few days. The officials say the return remains will be then shipped to Hawaii, where they'll be examined by the Defense POW MIA accounting agency for identification purposes. More than 7,800 Americans have been unaccounted for since the Korean War, which technically never ended. According to the Defense POW MIA accounting agency's website, North Korea has returned the remains of at least 3,200 Americans since the signing of the armistice suspending hostilities in 1953. That'll be very important for those family members. President Donald Trump has ordered the Pentagon to begin the process, as we reported yesterday, of establishing a new military branch called the Space Force. Our science advisor, Robert Zimmerman, with us. Robert, interesting idea. What do you think of it?
This is basically a bone that Trump is throwing to the military and to the big space contractors like Boeing and Lockheed Martin and to Congress as a way for them to spread pork all over the place. We need to have a president, military abilities in space. And someday, when we have colonies, and there are multiple colonies, and they're fighting over territory because the Outer Space Treaty won't allow them legally to have it, we'll need a military space force then. But now is not the time, and it's absolutely absurd to have guys in space cadet uniforms, you know, Spock and Kirk. That's essentially what they're talking about. If you're talking about reorganizing the Pentagon to make its Air Force Space Command more efficient, then that would make sense. But that's not what he said. He's going to make a space
force.
It's
a separate force. Separate force. You think it's just too early?
Yeah, it's too early. I mean, like I say, reorganizing or making more efficient how the Air Force does contracting and hires rockets and builds its satellites, that makes perfect sense. And if you were to create a space division, like the Air Corps used to be initially out of the Army, then that would make sense. But to make an actual second separate branch, what you're doing is you're creating pork, you're going to create a new bureaucracy, more money into the swamp in D.C., and it's a waste of money. And it's really a shame. And it's partly Trump is being sold into the idea of a giant space project, Apollo-like project, as a justification for the space launch system, which is bloated and expensive and is never going to accomplish anything, and he's buying into it. And so this is to bring the military into the idea of dumping lots and lots of dollars into a lot of pork and claiming in the process you're creating something good for the nation when you're not.
What's new with your website, BehindTheBlack.com?
Well, you know, I've got a new science fiction book out, Pioneer. We're prepping the audio edition of Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 8 mission this year, and that should be coming out very, very shortly, George, and people should be prepared for it.
We'll be talking. Thanks, Robert. Robert Zimmerman, our space historian as well. A German toy manufacturer has pulled one of its products from the shelves because it was supposedly teaching children that Nazis mastered space travel. Revell, a lot of people who've built models know what that company is, which is based in Germany, sold the round aircraft, which stated in its product description that it was the first object in the world capable of flying in space. Now, the Military History Museum and the German Children's Protection Association complained that the toy was historically inaccurate. According to the product box, the ship can reach speeds of 3,700 miles an hour and was not built beyond the test phase because of the World War II. The toy even featured symbols from the Third Reich. They have yanked it. More than 800 survivors of Hawaii's Kilauea volcano are seeking help from the federal government following 5 weeks of unprecedented turmoil and destruction with still no end in sight. CVS, the health drugstore, will make prescription deliveries nationwide to your home to accommodate the heightened expectations of convenience from consumers. The nation's second largest drugstore chain says it will also make home deliveries for other products like allergy medicines, vitamins, or household products. The service will cost $4.99 for delivery made in 1 or 2 days. Looks like the internet's getting them to do that. Americans' long-running joke about Starbucks on every corner may be nearing its end. The giant coffee company is retrenching in its home market and will close about 150 stores. Meanwhile, U.S. stocks fell as a sharp escalation in the trade dispute between the United States and China rattled markets and put the Dow Jones Industrial Average back in negative territory for the year. Registered investment advisor Mish Shedlock with us. Mish, some experts are beginning to say the market may take some punches.
Yeah, George, you know, I'm not in a happy mood tonight.
Why not? You're always in a good mood.
2 years ago, I told you this was coming. You know, George, I would rather have been wrong.
I know what.
Trump came out a couple weeks ago, put $50 billion in tariffs on China. China responded with $50 billion in tariffs. Trump said, okay, $200 billion. China responded with $200 billion. Guess what? Today, Trump came out and said $450 billion in tariffs on China. Guess what? China can't respond because they don't even import that much with the U.S. However, there's a couple of nuclear options here. First one, which I kind of dismissed, but other people are discussing, is that China would stop buying U.S. treasuries. The second one, which is more realistic, is that China simply devalues the yuan.
Mm-hmm.
They don't float the yuan. So if they devalue the yuan to make up for this, guess what? You know, their exports are still cheap. Trump has achieved nothing. But, you know, U.S. consumers, every U.S. consumer, if Trump follows through on this is not a done deal yet, but if he follows through on this, what he said, and so far he has, consumer prices on everything that we import from China, which is, you know, a lot of things, George, are going
absolutely.
To go up, and he's going to do it again. This is exactly the trade war that no one wins that I've been warning about for 2 years.
Yeah, this one they need to take a step back. And what about the possibilities of a military war with China if this keeps getting as hot as it's getting?
George, this is really bizarre. China and Japan are talking for the first time on how to respond to the U.S. How bizarre is that? That's probably a good development that China and Japan are talking. But
not about us.
Yes, not about us. Meanwhile, this is what's really weird, George, is a few weeks ago I wrote on my blog is that all of this appeared to be aimed at breaking up the EU. Now, think about it. Look at all of the battles that Trump has had with Germany. Now, if we get into a trade war with Germany, block their exports to us, China is going to try and respond and send those things to the EU. Already, Germany is bickering with Italy, with France. I think that the underlying goal, and this is so kind of bizarre, but I'm sure I'm right here, George, is that Trump is specifically trying to break up the EU.
Hmm. Wow. I got to tell you, you're not in a good mood, are you?
No, George, I'm not. I think I've analyzed this correctly. I would rather have been wrong.
Okay, Mish, we'll talk to you later. Listen to this strange, bizarre story. A man serving as a pallbearer for his mother, who died, was crushed to death by the mother's falling coffin. It fell off this thing that they were all holding, crushed him to death. Now, you talk about bizarre. In a moment, we're going to be talking about the life of Nikola Tesla and some other incredible things with Dr. Tom Vallone next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. It's only been about 10 years since Dr. Tom Vallone was with me, but he's back. He's the president of Integrity Research Institute, editor of Future Energy Newsletter and E-News, He provides consultations on electrical product design and development. Noted author, he's written a number of books and has edited Nikola Tesla's Electricity Unplugged and so many more. We talked with him some time ago about zero-point energy. We still don't have zero-point energy, Tom, do we?
Yes, we do.
Where is it?
It is going to be at the Albuquerque, New Mexico conference, Tesla.org.
They're going to finally tell the world that it's up and ready? That would be dramatic.
I'm doing a Saturday night special.
I love it. We'll get into that. How have you been over the last 10 years, for crying out loud? Where have you been?
Good, George. I've been in Washington, D.C. area with our good old Integrity Research Institute and plugging along, and it was very enjoyable to be on your show 10 years ago, and we're making progress, really very significant progress in energy, propulsion, and bioenergetics.
Well, I tell you what, Tom, you have written a number of books. A lot of them rolled in on us last week, and I've been going through them like crazy. And you do a great job. And this, tell me how you got started. And I'm talking way gone back when you were a kid. How did you get interested in stuff like this?
Well, I literally had a chemistry set that was a chem lab in our basement. And I traditionally would make gases, chemical gases that smelled terrible, and balloons that went up in the air and exploded. So I was a notable, troublesome person for the neighborhood.
You didn't take the house down, did you?
No, but certainly the parents kept complaining.
So I see the price of gasoline is starting to inch back up again. People are complaining about that, and rightfully so. We're still using common electricity and stuff like that. So you tell us about zero-point energy. I mean, is there going to be anything out there that really changes our usage of power and consumption?
Absolutely. In fact, first of all, we have to emphasize, it's right on our homepage, integrity-research.org, the amazing Jim Hansen climate graph that I annotated 10 years ago in 2006. And now, you know, 12 years later, we actually see the experts predicting what the graph already said from 400,000 years of ice records, that we're headed for about a 5 degrees C increase in temperature. So, yes, we will see a revolution. We have to in order to survive. Nobody wants that 5 degrees increase centigrade by 2100.
I just had Dr. Tim Ball on, who talked about how he believes man is not responsible for this. Where do you stand there?
Well, carbon dioxide is measurable, and you can see it keep clicking upwards from the detector in Hawaii, which is independent of the volcanic eruptions that are happening right now. So it's a measurable increase. It's a thermal trap for infrared radiation. And anyways, the important part is when you start measuring CO2 increase, that to me is very valuable, whether or not you even think it's going to get hot around here. The most important part is CO2 is a toxin, and it was at below 290 parts per million for 400,000 years until we started pumping it up to 400. We're at 408 parts per million. We're headed up toward 1,000 parts per million by 2100. Do you know what 1,000 parts per million in a closed environment is like?
I do not. Tell me.
The classroom studies prove, this is on, you can Google it, 1,000 parts per million of CO2 causes cognitive impairment.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. So we're headed to that in only 480 years, and this is our next generation of kids that you won't want to go outside to start thinking.
People are acting weird already, Tom.
Yeah, talking about cognitive impairment, yeah, right.
It's already happened. We're going to have in this talk of wars over drinking water and shortages. But you say it's possible to get drinking water from thin air. How does that happen?
Well, it's actually part of an XPRIZE. And in fact, we have to give Demetrius a lot of credit, because the XPRIZE for water out of thin air is now ongoing, and the winners will be announced in another month.
Is this almost like developing a huge dehumidifier?
Yeah, exactly. But it's even more significant than that. In fact, if people subscribe to our Future Energy e-news, which goes out every month. We just reported last month, which is on our website under news, the story in my intro about the MIT discovery of an even better, more efficient grabber of water out of thin air. So this is a real breakthrough in solving the world's water problem that's going to become even more intense in the next few years.
I was in the Joshua Tree area not too long ago, and there's the Integratron there by George Van Tassel. You've looked at that. As a matter of fact, you're in a documentary about him. It's Calling All Earthlings, aren't you? That's you, right?
Yes, CallingAllEarthlingsMovie.com has the trailer. And, yeah, Calling All Earthlings is amazing Professor Berman's documentary. It's been years in the making.
What is the Integratron?
Well, what we have to, first of all, let your listeners know about is if you go to our homepage and click on news at the very bottom, scroll all the way down, you'll see my 10-minute citizens' hearing presentation.
Okay.
I was limited to 10 minutes, so I had to crush it all in.
You could have gone longer, knowing you.
But it's my autobiography, and that's why I invite people who know nothing about Integratron or Van Tassel to go to our homepage, integrity-research.org, scroll down on the news page all the way down, and you'll see Citizens Hearing. Click on that, watch the YouTube video. And the important part is that here's an amazing man who in the 1950s had UFO conferences, and UFOs would literally come nearby and hover around, and people would take pictures of them.
Some people thought he was insane, Tom.
Stories are that they got rides on the UFOs and so forth. But out of all of that came the Integratron, and Van Tassel was supposed to get help from the ETs to finish it, which he never did.
Do you think he was the real deal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, I studied with Norman Paulson. And, in fact, Norman Paulson's book on the Integratron and Van Tassel, called Sunburst, Return of the Ancients, was my impetus in 1980 to basically do a rotating magnet test called a homopolar generator as my master's degree thesis in physics at the State University of New York at Buffalo. So in 1980, I got converted to looking for free energy at the, you know, Norman Paulson, Van Tassel, Integratron type neighborhood.
What about his ET visitations? Do you think that happened?
I think they did. I really do.
Wow.
They're so sincere and so detailed. And Norman Paulson was just all enamored by Van Tassel's experiences and his own rides on the same craft. I mean, these are humanoid ETs. How could you not be enamored by them? They weren't weird-looking. They were really just like us.
They
claimed
right.
to have seeded our race, you know, 400,000 years ago.
He got a lot of publicity. Van Tassel got a lot of publicity in those days.
Absolutely.
For the things he talked about.
That's right. Videos, amazing videos of his online. Sure. And so Calling All Earthlings is a great movie. I'm happy to be in it. I gave him all the information I could about my experiences with him and with the Paulson experience and so forth. But I've tried to pursue the magnetic motor that Paulson talked about that powered the ET circular craft.
And when you say pursue it, tell me what you're doing.
Well, the homopolar generator was the first step. I found there was back torque, so I kind of gave up on that simplistic rotating motor approach, which even De Palma, you know, to his deathbed still believed in.
That's a big machine, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's here in our lab. But the important part is then it got me into the Searle device, which is what I talk about in the disclosure, citizens' hearing testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Even from there, that's a mystery. John Searle and the Searle device is still, you know, out, I would say on the fence. It's in the gray area of possible. But overall, it finally got me into the V-Track spiral motor, which I did a successful crowdfunding for. And now we expect by the end of the year, end of this year, I'm promising to have a working spiral V-Track motor.
What will this motor do? What will it be capable of doing?
Well, the important thing is that we have to achieve, first of all, magnetic gradient is the key word here. If no one knows what magnetic gradient is, the gradient is just the same as electric gradient, gravity gradient, voltage gradient. We always use that for energy access. Magnetic gradient's never been used. And the V-Track spiral motor gives you that option. However, you have to overcome the transition point. And that particular challenge has stopped everyone from making the motor work. The important part of it's self-contained, self-enclosed, with no external input, then we've got something that can be quote-unquote called free energy.
All right, hold on, Tom. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about these amazing inventions that are coming. I mean, truly amazing. And the next hour, we'll take some phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, let's meet in Vancouver, British Columbia. That's right. I'll be there Saturday, June 30th at the Architects of the New Paradigm Conference. Really looking forward to that. Full information at coasttocoastam.com. Click events at the top of the homepage. You'll also see it in the revolving carousel. And, of course, Asheville, North Carolina, come from everywhere. Saturday, August 25th, our live stage show. It is tickets are going great, but you still got some. And the balcony's available. Those of you who like to sit up there, I'll tell you a balcony joke one day. Lots of great guests. And you can go to the website, dwtheatre.com. dwtheatre.com, or go to coasttocoastam.com and just click events. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're with Dr. Tom Vallone as we talk about his work. His latest edited work is called Nikola Tesla's Electricity Unplugged. He's got a conference in August. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Tom, let's get back to the spiral magnetic motor.
Let me just interrupt if I can, George. Yeah. You were asking me about the integratron, and then we kind of diverged into free energy and magnetic motors, but I don't know if we even explained what the integratron was good for.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that.
Oh, okay. I did want to clarify that, finish that story, and that's where our research comes in, bioenergy device.
You're with us for a long time tonight, Tom. You're
not getting away. Not that long.
But this motor that you've developed, the spiral magnetic motor, what will it do?
Well, it produces torque, mechanical torque. And so we can literally apply it. The dream is, the intent is, the mission is to provide not only mechanical torque for a motor that will drive a car, but initially, why not at least drive a generator? My first initial stage is just to provide a charger for electric cars onboard charging. You know, they already have, it's right in our annual report, you can get from the homepage, integrityresearchinstitute.org, they already have solar panels on the top of cars. Japan is producing, it's called a company called Hanergy, starts with an H, Hanergy.com. And so the intent of having an onboard charger is already, you know, in the mindset of developers of electric cars.
Now, if you made it for a car, though, it's got to be smaller. It can't be the size that you've got right now.
Right, exactly. Sure, that's the point. And let me call attention to my Saturday night presentation on the Manelis device. This is a real free energy device dealing with strontium ferrite, and it's an anomalous output. Sustained output. It'll be an exciting one at Tesla.org at our conference in August in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
How fast can you go in a car with a motor like this? 60, 70, 80 miles an hour faster?
Sure, whatever the electric motor normally provides. And that's what's amazing, even about the Manelis device, which is using an interesting ferromagnetic, ferroelectric charger and the ceramic, is that you literally are seeing the voltage slightly increase and become cooler. The battery becomes cooler after charging. It has anomalous properties when it's working properly and presumably using ambient energy or zero-point energy or vacuum energy to sustain its output.
Now, have to charge it, or does it just keep going almost like perpetual motion?
The Manelis device certainly seems to be self-sustaining charging, and in fact is even affected by magnetic auroras. I'm sorry, I mispronounced that. And that's what the long-term, several-week chart recording has done and proven.
That's exciting.
So we'll have a special guest who's worked with this directly appearing at the Saturday night presentation on the Manelis device at the Tesla Tech and COFI 10. Also, COFI10.org is the other website for...
That's in August, right?
Yeah, we're having two conferences concurrently.
Okay. We'll get some specifics on that. Now, the Integratron is 38 feet tall. It's out there by Joshua Tree. It's 58 feet in diameter. It was created by George Van Tassel and a fellow by the name of Howard Hess. and it's supposed to do all kinds of strange things, which would include rejuvenating human cell tissue, time travel, all kinds of things. I mean, I've not been in it.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Do you just stand in it? What do you do?
Well, you can go upstairs, you can go downstairs, you can stay right in the very center upstairs, which is it's like a black hole vacuum, because anything you say gets bounced right back to you. It's an acoustic, sink. It's acoustically designed so that the center of the Integratron is literally the acoustic or audio center as well. But the important thing is there's no nails ever used in the construction of it. The floor, which is the second-story floor, is designed as a pancake coil. And then there's a column that looks like the primary coil, or the secondary, perhaps, of a Tesla coil. So the impression you get when you walk in is this looks like an inverted Tesla coil with ambient electrostatic energy coming from the air to charge it.
And apparently Van Tassel made it from what he says instructions and plans provided by visitors from Venus.
Well, wherever they came from, they certainly gave him some ideas that he also credits Tesla for, and T. Townsend Brown and so forth.
Tesla may have come from another planet for all.
Yeah. Certainly he had space communications going. So we've developed high-voltage devices that actually verify the Tesla coils when you're exposed to them each day, do seem to provide charging of your transmembrane potential and provide electrons that are antioxidants.
Now, what about the time travel portion of this? How would that work?
Well, you know, that's probably the most mysterious part.
Right.
But if you go on YouTube and look at Van Tassel's interview, he tells you specifically the device that he had experienced, which apparently pulled some old TV shows out of the thin air. So, and that was in the 1950s, so it's pretty incredible. But I tend to dismiss time travel at this point because it's so far out there. I'd sooner deal with things that are real, energy propulsion, bioenergetics-wise.
But if he was right and this machine, the Integratron, works, who knows what it could do?
Right, and maybe it does have at least time dilation or something like that, which could explain some of the rejuvenation effects, you know, slowing the aging process.
See, he died in 78, and I think he took a lot of whatever it did with him.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of notes. Even his grandson doesn't seem to have very much recorded information.
Let's go through some of these devices that are on the market or coming on the market and tell us what they do. Let's start with the handheld ATP turbo light, you call it. What is that for?
Yeah, the ATP turbo LED, that's literally a handheld infrared LED source, and its specific frequency, 660, 850 nanometers. And what's interesting is when you look at the journal articles, which we have online at the bioenergydevice.org, you'll see that the ATP gets stimulated from the 660 nanometer wavelength.
What?
So you're actually energizing the cells by having that infrared frequencies near your skin.
Do you kind of like just wave it over your body, or what do you do with it?
Right. You can put it anywhere you feel like it. The back of the neck, for example, back of the middle of the shoulder is a good acupuncture point to stimulate for energy. But anywhere you feel like it needs some rejuvenation or some, activation. It's helpful in the wintertime, especially, because we all get aches and pains
sure.
from cold. But that's an energizing one.
Is it good for healing, or is it more of a maintenance device?
Well, it's good for stimulating collagen production as well. And, yes, it does stimulate healing. Muscle aches, for example, can be... when you increase the heat the temperature of an organic reaction, it goes faster. So muscle aches can heal quicker and so forth.
How about the Premier Junior Electrotherapy Device? What the heck is that?
That's also on our website. It's what I'm excited about is that it's a 40,000-volt Tesla coil that you can hold in your hand.
Wait a minute. 40,000 volts and you hold it in your hand?
That's right. And it's a noble gas tube. You have your choice of noble gas tubes.
Kids don't do this at home, but go ahead.
It's designed to be done at home. And see, that's why I wrote the book, Bioelectromagnetic Healing, which is described on our website. It's available on Amazon.
Why wouldn't you get shocked to death holding a 40,000-volt device in your hand?
Well, you can if it wasn't designed properly.
Oh, boy.
But I spent years designing it with vinyl, double vinyl insulation and so forth. So instead of the cheap ones you can buy, which are less than 10,000 volts and basically do very little except the skin. You know, it's designed for just skin-level maintenance. But this actually penetrates the tissues very deeply. And so we have a guy that's walking today. He used to be in a wheelchair. You get dramatic effects when you pump high voltage and electrons right into a local area that's giving you trouble.
He's actually walking again?
Yes. Yeah. His name is Elliot. He actually gave us a written testimonial. It's on our website. And he specifically described the fact that his knee was incapacitated, had cartilage damage that they couldn't fix. And when he started using the Premier Junior twice a day, just for 5 minutes at each time, it's limited to 10-minute exposure because
okay.
It heats up. This is how powerful it is.
Do you feel a tingle or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you do, but it's not painful. It's very stimulating, and you feel it deep in the tissues.
Have you ever used a little device called a TENS machine?
Yes, I know Dr. Shealy, Norm Shealy, who invented it.
Those are, you know, shooting electrical pulses, runs on a little 9-volt battery, but it shoots electrical pulses into your back or wherever you've got these electrodes, you know, attached to.
And it's transcutaneous nerve stimulation, but that's good for relieving pain, and it's designed specifically for that purpose as small amounts of electricity go into the skin and the muscles, for example, as it tenses. But this is high voltage that's designed to really, first of all, boost your transmembrane potential. I don't know if you know it, but the biophysics textbooks tell us the body only stores energy two ways: chemical gradients or electrical gradients.
And all right.
We know all about chemical gradients.
Yes,
in the
we
West.
Do.
Pharmaceutical companies, you know, capitalize on pumping chemicals. But the electrical gradients, this was discovered 100 years ago by Tesla. He actually did a lecture on electrotherapy and invented Tesla coils and stuff. But that's the important thing. You boost your transmembrane potential. Your body cells then have energy to start pumping electrolytes.
The next device, the antioxidant electric clothing invention, which was invented by your wife.
Yes, Dr. Panting. That's still in development. We have prototypes we're now testing, and we're planning on presenting to various sports apparel companies.
What will it do?
Well, it specifically does the microcurrent in the clothing itself. In other words, it applies microcurrent to acupuncture points. And it's patented so that it's designed to be something that sports people can improve their performance when they have exertion type of exercise.
Well, so you're wearing it constantly. What powers it up? Will it have like a little battery or something?
Initially, we're starting with the flexible solar cells that work on low light, even indoors. And that can be on the back or the shoulders. But there's other great little devices that have been now invented with piezoelectric fibers, nano fibers that are piezoelectric.
Isn't it amazing how electricity, and basically that's what we're talking about here, how
yes.
electricity works on the human body?
Absolutely. It's body electric. I used to know
that's
Robert
true.
Becker. Becker, Bassett, and Pillow. They were the three kingtons of discovering the bone signal that could heal fractured bones quickly and prevent osteoporosis, which 50% of Americans get as they get older. But then they never developed the commercial device, so we did. It's at osteopad.org.
What is the EM pulsar?
The EM pulsar is very similar to the osteopad, but it's a small handheld device that pulses magnetically.
This sounds like Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dr. Glenn Gordon was definitely a Star Trek enthusiast, and he's the inventor of it. It was called M-Pulse when he developed it. He developed it from NASA's research on a fast rise time. You had to have a nanosecond rise time to be effective in activating the heat shock protein 70 to an injury site. And we have testimonials on our website. You look at the bioenergetics webpage. But the important thing is that you can actually avoid inflammation and reduce inflammation by applying this quickly after an injury.
And how much would these devices cost, Tom?
They're actually a couple hundred dollars.
That's it?
They range from $295 to maybe $795.
Yep. And you use it at home and wherever you have to, and it's just
That's
good
the
for...
beauty of electrotherapy, one-time investment, and you keep it for years and keeps on going.
That's exciting work. It really is. And the osteopad, which you just mentioned, really helps people with brittle bones, doesn't it?
Well, that's the point. You actually are. See, the people don't realize that when you have brittle bones, it means you're not using weight-bearing exercise, and you may be taking calcium supplements and not absorbing them, because the bone is piezoelectric and only takes in calcium when you apply force. In other words, weight-bearing exercise, jumping up and down, and so forth. So that's what the osteopad does. It simulates the signal the bone would normally create when it's undergoing weight-bearing exercise. And you can do this passively while you sleep.
Three doctors invented it. How come they never marketed the thing?
That's my famous story. I'm talking to Dr. Arthur Pillow, one of the three kingpins, who literally patented and published on this topic.
He was ready to go.
I said, you invented it. You knew it prevented osteoporosis. Why didn't you develop a commercial device? And you know what his answer was?
What?
We never got funding for it. I was so fit to be tired. I said, I'm going to get it out on the market myself. And so we did. I just couldn't believe these three wonderful medical doctors failed to help the humanity, 50% of Americans, when they had the chance to do it and discovered the way to do it.
How far ahead of his time, Tom, was Nikola Tesla? What do you think?
We're 100 years later, and of course I was interviewed for this show on the History Channel called The Tesla Files, which is now off into a Death Ray, Star Wars type thing. Anyways, the point is he's at least a couple hundred years ahead of his time. Because even 100 years later, we still don't acknowledge his wireless transmission of power as being realistic. And yet my new book, Nikola Tesla's Electricity Unplugged, documents the best proof that it's actually real.
And they stole his plans when he died, didn't they?
I know. That's the basic mystery from the Science Channel and the History Channel. They both have ongoing running Tesla documentaries right now.
The big conference, the COFE10.org is the website, COFE with the number 10, COFE10.org. Is that website. That's the event in August. Can anybody go to these?
Yes, absolutely. And students are free. And also Tesla.org is the one for the concurrent Tesla Tech extraordinary.
And where will these be held?
They're at the Crown Plaza in a hotel in Albuquerque.
Okay.
August 8th through the 12th. And ours is 10 and 11, Friday, Saturday.
Super. All right, Tom, stay with us. We're going to take an hour of phone calls when we come back in a moment as we talk about George Van Tassel and his Integratron. We'll talk about Tesla. We'll talk about just about everything you've heard us talk about next on Coast to Coast AM.